please take your hymnals and turn to page 40. Page 40, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Let's all stand, shall we? Page 40.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure.
Now,
oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning,
around a minute.
It's COVID time.
When I wasn't here, there was more people. I come back and, oh, he's back. I was going to read scripture, but you don't need it. It's all the spiritual ones. More sickness, more people are sick, so pray for them and don't breathe. If you breathe less, you'll spread less germs and swallow less germs, so breathe less. Did you see next week it's going to be in the 40s?
Yep.
Is winter over?
I don't know.
Did the skunk see a shadow or whatever? Possum, what is it? Oh, go groundhog. Sorry. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can lean on you. Thank you for all the kids that are here. I pray they'll be challenged. And Lord, if any one of them doesn't know Jesus, I pray that will be easy for them to see that he loves them. He came so that they could trust him to get into heaven, be with the leadership, God, that they will make him so real. Thank you for this gathering. Give strength. So many are struggling and sick. Just heal and give them strength. I pray this. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated.
Page 38 in your hymnals, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken. Page 38.
Age.
you are keeping score on this week. Let me see. Jail tomorrow, if you are in, I don't know who goes. We had a situation. How about pray about it? We've been going to the Juvenile Justice Center, JJC we call it, for a long time. And all of a sudden they cut us off. So would you just make that a matter? Would you put that on your prayer list to pray about that? We can get that resolved. You know, it probably doesn't take much, right? Everybody's offended. And if the Bible offends, we're not going to apologize for it. But we'd still like to, that has been such a profitable. Vernon, Connie have been doing that, of course, John and his mom and others. So just make that a matter of prayer that we can figure that out. And I'm telling you what it is. It's politics. It's politics. If you have a prayer list, Secret Sisters, you see those things in there. If you have a prayer list, of course you're wondering, Lisa left to get to her brother. He's been conscious. He's stable. So she's just going to hang around there a while with him and see how he does. So under cancer, Bob Myers, they did not give him much hope, but it seemed like a lot of prayer. A lot of prayer. So you make that a matter of prayer. Of course, there are other people on there that need prayer. I know that. And under health and pastor of the week, missionary of the week, others that, you know what you do? If you have a list of the church people, you just put checks by all those that are well and then pray for the rest. Huh? Because, like, man, Amy will go, oh, so-and-so's sick. Oh, so-and-so. She's going to say, oh, so-and-so. Hey, did you know so-and-so's sick? Oh, that. Okay, I'm gonna pray. I'll pray right here. Lord Jesus, thank you that prayer gets answered. And thank you that you want to answer it. And we know you can. And we're thrilled that Bob Myers is doing better. We would pray, Lord, that you would continue to show yourself and make him well. I would just love to see that. I just think, God, if we're supposed to pray harder so that happens, let us know. Because it just doesn't happen enough. The doctors need to say, wow, we don't know what happened. Well, God, we ought to know what happens because we know we can pray. You said, ask and you shall receive. So we want to be able to say, look, you can't explain it, but we can. So God, do that for Bob, and there are others here, of course, and so many who are sick, and we pray about this JJC issue. We give that to you and ask you to resolve that and work that out and put some pressure on somebody's heart. God, maybe it's one person or a couple, just pressure them to open the doors for us to be able to go in. Thank you for those that have been serving there. Thank you, God, for the opportunity that the teenagers have to hear the gospel and to be challenged to live for you. And thank you for all the Awana kids that are challenged, God, with scripture and so many things. I just pray that their lives will be changed. And Lord, thank you for this night. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for heaven. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. God, if we got what we deserved, we'd be in big trouble. Thank you, God, for your mercy. And thank you that you talked about your grace as much, you giving us what we don't deserve. Thank you that you're a gracious God. Bless this night. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers are going to come. So if there are less people here, you have to give more to make up. Right, Miss Treasure? Era says. Oh, can we pray? Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are good to this church. You bless this church. And I was telling someone today what we give missions, and they said, man, that's a lot. And Lord, we can and we should. Thank you, we can do that. Thank you that we can give tonight. And Lord, it doesn't matter how many of us are here, because you're keeping track of those who give. It isn't the amount. You're not looking for an amount. You're just looking at those of us who are here to see how we give. We give to you. We give because we love you. We give because you made a promise that if we would give, it would be given unto us. And we're not doing it for that reason, but we're doing it because you said, just give. Give. Be givers. Jesus gave, for God so loved the world that he gave. Thank you that you sent Jesus. May we be willing to give no matter what. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Page 41 in your hymnals, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Let's all stand, shall we? We'll sing all three verses.
There have been names that I have loved to hear, but never has there been a name so near to this heart of mine as the name. Precious, precious name of Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name, and that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
Seated. Pastor?
If you want, we all could meet up in the choir. Matthew chapter 8. That's too close. That's too weird. I'm going to pull back a little bit. Matthew chapter 8. Good to have the oars back. You thought we lost them. We did. They bailed and went, whatever you do. I don't know. I forgot what it's like to get away. I had to turn a funeral down yesterday. I didn't want to, but I've just been advised. I sound like I'm 180, don't I? I've been advised that I need to slow down. So he said, well, what's wrong? Why can't you do it? Got the flu or what? I said, or what? So I said, John Hanley. I said, John, just, I can't do this one. I always say yes. So he schedules everything and then calls me. And I said, I'm, you know, hate to leave you like that, but I just don't know. I'm old. Matthew 8. Got to slow down. I saw a lady today. I'll tell you who it was. Mrs. Palmer, Dolores Palmer, Palmer Funeral Home. I said, hey, Dolores, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. I said, that's great. She said, how you doing? I said, I'm old. She said, you're not old. I'm 83 and I'm still golfing. I said, that's nothing. I said, my uncle's 90, works two jobs, and he golfs. So keep going. She said, I'm gonna. Thank you for that. That was encouraging. I said, yeah, man, keep going. Matthew chapter 8. I know it sounds weird. I love doing funerals. Right? I love an opportunity. People want to hear the God. That was hard for me. And I prayed about it. He called me. I waited a day and prayed. Amy thought, you know, and I was at the dock Monday, and he said, you just do what you're doing, take it easy. And so I don't do anything. I sleep all day, eat chocolate. No, I don't. But you know what? You know how you tell your dog don't bark, quit barking, and he doesn't? Slow down. Okay. Can't do that. Oh, all right. Matthew 8. This one has been, it just needs to be said. And God laid this on my heart. It doesn't matter who's here, who's not here. You may need it. Somebody else may need it. Maybe it's just for me. I don't know. Matthew chapter 8. Got it yet? Giving you a chance to find it. Matthew 8. Look at verse 18. We're going to read verse 18 through verse 22. Matthew 8, verse 18. Now, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, you're going slow, right? Don't read ahead. Don't say, I win. Just, I want you to see what's going on here. Scribe. Scribes copied the Bible. It's a scribe. And just because you copy the Bible doesn't mean you know it. Hello? It doesn't mean that you're an expert. It doesn't mean you're the greatest Christian. It just means it can become a profession. I don't want my Christianity to be just public. I want it to be private. I want it to work in private. Hello? Are you here? Anybody home? I don't want it, you know, I don't want to come and, you've seen, right? You've seen some of these services. Man, you talk about a performance. There are people singing, drummers are drumming, you know? And if they got orchestras or they got guitars, man, they're just going at it. It just seems like, I mean, you really love God. I just want to love God that much all week. And then I want it just to spill over. Psalm 23, my cup runneth over. I just want what's in my life just to come here and just spill over. You know, I don't want it to be, ha, ha, ha. They said, whoever this scribe is, verse 19, a certain scribe, sounds spiritual. Jesus didn't ask him. He volunteered himself. Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. You know, the problem with telling God that is that God knows more than you do. Did you ever make a promise you didn't keep? And you say, I would never do that. And then you do it. He said, I'll follow you wherever you go. Can't fool Jesus, can you? He doesn't hear your words and go, wow. Jesus responds, the foxes have holes. And the birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. What a response. Here he says, I know what the Bible says. I'm a scribe. I'll follow you wherever I see you go. So Jesus responds, if you were an animal, a fox, you'd have a home. If you were a bird, you'd have a nest. I don't have anything. In other words, not just I don't have a home, but this place is not my home. Are we learning that? Huh? Are we learning to detach ourselves from this world? Another, verse 21, another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, first guy said, Master. This guy says, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. You've heard messages on this. A lot of the guys, and I don't see the premise for it, but a lot of guys will say, well, his dad wasn't dead yet. And I guess that's okay. I just want to be careful in what I assume. Well, he just wanted to go be with his dad. And then, you know, when his dad died, give him a burial. And someone said he just wanted to collect his inheritance. You don't know that. But he says, Lord, suffer me first. Verse 21. Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me. See it? Follow me. He doesn't say, oh, that's nice. Man, it almost sounds like Jesus is cruel. Hey, I just want to bury my dad. Forget your dad. Follow me. That's what it sounds like. And then he says that famous statement, let the dead bury their dead. In other words, what's important? We're going to die. We don't know when we're going to die. If we don't die, we're going to be raptured. Either way, it's better not to be attached to anything here. Hello. Pray with me. Lord, I ask for help and power. I pray this will be relevant to me. I don't want to just be the scribe or the preacher. I want to be a listener. So apply it to me. Spirit of God, speak to me. I mean, you have. Wow, you have. But speak again, please. Speak to everyone here and everyone watching, everyone who will watch. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord was never insensitive unless he knew someone was a hypocrite. Matthew 23, when the Pharisees began to, you know, challenge him, he just said it. You snakes, you vipers, you hypocrites. And you and I know that he's not insensitive. He's not mean. How many times we've read that he's moved with compassion. He goes, John 11, to the grave of Lazarus and he weeps. Even though he knows the outcome. Have you done that? Someone starts crying, so you start crying. He's not cruel. What could be wrong? Verse 21. What could be wrong with wanting to give your father a proper burial? I was really, and every time I, there's many things that spur this, but my dad passed away in the next couple of days. It'll be since 2009, but it was February, and I have the date on my phone. I saw it, forgot it, but I remember you don't think about anything. You think about praying for him, keeping him alive, enjoying him, and then when he passed, my first response was, because I knew what he had. And I thought, oh, man, I didn't have any money. He had debt. He literally had, we found money and sold his car and sold off things and just to pay some of his debt. I remember when he passed, we called Palmer, and they picked him up, and then I went the next day and saw Carrie, and I said, I'll do the best I can. He said, well, what do you want to do? I go, well, Carrie, he has absolutely nothing. So I'm going to have to pay for whatever we do, cremation. I didn't want to do that. And he looked at me, Carrie Palmer, he looked at me and he said, you know what? You've been doing funerals for us for a long time. We call you, you show up. You put a coat on and run down to Lakeville when we're in a jam. He said, we're going to bury your dad, whatever you want. You want limos, you got limos. Whatever you want, we're going to take care of it. All right. I'll take a limo. We didn't use it for his funeral. I said, can I use it some other time? He said, sure. I wanted my dad to have a proper bit. Nothing wrong with that. And he did. Some of you were there. You waited for hours. Hours. 7 hours people came through. Not 7 hours nonstop. The funeral was packed. But I knew something that I shared that was more important than all that fame. I never say anything about they're doing the funeral for free. I knew my dad made a decision that year in his life.
Amen.
That was more important than anything else. He told me, hey, I'm going to follow him. What did Jesus mean? When this man said, I just want to bury my dad, Jesus responds, verse 22, see it? First thing he said, follow me. He didn't say, let the dead bury the dead. First he said, follow me. Aren't you glad that the Lord gets to the point? Sometimes, and I'm not good at this, if you have a long story you want to share with me, I'm gonna hush you up. Because I don't have time, I don't need details. I just tell me what's going on. And man, I love that when this guy said, here's what I love. Me, remember he says there, verse 21, Lord, suffer me first. This is what I want. And the Lord cut right through everything and said, follow me. What does that mean? Two things. Number one, following Jesus has to be a matter of priority. A matter of priority. When someone dies today, if you've been through this, you know the procedure. It's very habitual. They pick the body up. You know, it depends where it is, how it is. But everybody, you call the funeral home, and they know exactly what to do. And everything's laid out. And you go and you meet with the funeral. I mean, you can't say we'll get to it when we can. I'm sorry. You read these stories about this guy whose wife died 8 months ago and she's still on the couch next to him and he never called anybody, and you think that happens a lot. And I don't know if it's because they didn't want, you know, I mean, that would be horrible to bury someone so close to you. He said, hey, my dad, whether he's dead or gonna die, I think the point is, can I just get to it? I'm not a theologian. So let me give you the preacher's comment on this. Was the man's dad dead? Doesn't matter. Hey, doesn't matter. Jesus doesn't accept excuses. Hey, my dad, I'd really like, follow me. But I need to first, you know, my family, my mom, and then follow me. That's what the Lord is saying. Follow me. Actions. Not I will, but follow me. Actions. And if you hesitate, and you know people that have, if you hesitate to follow him, he'll make excuses. You want to know how many times I've heard this? Hey, pastor, I'm coming to church. You know the problem with some of those? Some of those people said that over 30 years ago. And they haven't been here yet. And you know those rascals, when I run into them, will still say, I'm still coming. I'll go, coming where? Remember I told you I'd go to church? And I'll respond, you remember telling me that? Oh yeah. I go, I'm still waiting. You see, you and I know, wherever the verse is, I don't know the reference right now, talk is cheap. Nothing is more important in our lives than following Jesus. That's what he's saying. Just following him. It's that simple. It's that basic. He told the Lord, if I bury my dad, I'll be back later. You know what that does? That makes following the Lord seem unimportant. The situation came up. I won't mention names. I was asked what I thought. It involved, this is me. You don't have to agree with this. It involved missing church. I responded, church is first. If there's anything else that comes up, church is first. Amen. I want that to be true. I don't want to just tell you that. I want it to be true. That decision's already made. Yeah, well, where do I say go to church on Wednesday? Because I've committed to that. That's why it says that. I've committed to follow him. Doesn't matter who comes to town. Doesn't matter what's scheduled. I'm just telling you, I'd rather face the Lord knowing that he was my priority. He. I don't want my priorities to be out of order. I don't want following him. I don't want anybody to think that following Jesus is not that important. Because it is. It's a matter of priority. Number two. The follow me there is not just a priority, but to follow me there in verse 22 is a matter of urgency. It's urgent. Should be done. Needs to be done. This guy, Lord, suffer me first, verse 21, suffer me first, go and bury my father. This guy thought that he could follow Jesus when he wanted to. That's not the Lord. You've read the scriptures, right? Today, if you will hear his voice, Hebrews, today, if you will hear his voice. Don't we tell people, man, if you don't get saved now, you may never get saved. That's true. You and I know people that put it off and died without Christ. Following the Lord, trusting him sure is a matter of urgency. But following him is a matter of urgency. Because if we put off following him, something else will take up our time and keep us from following him. Have you done that? Amy said, I shouldn't tell you this story, but I'm gonna. She said, I have, Kevin's not watching, is he? I hope he's not. Tell him not to watch this one. I have several guitars, but I don't play them. I keep thinking I will, but I just don't. I'm lazy. I don't know what it is. Amy bought me one, and I think Armstead gave me one because he gets them all the time. And pray for her. He hurt his back shoveling snow. Vicky's been sick. Ron hurt his back Saturday really bad shoveling snow. Anyways, he gives Kevin a guitar every other week. And he gave me one. And so I have all these guitars. And I don't play them. And Amy will say, she quit saying anything. You know, I played all the time. My mom would say, will you please stop playing? And when I got saved, the Lord, took it away. And we have them here. They're okay, but Amy said she doesn't anymore, but she would say, how come you don't play the guitar? And because I was, really into it, you know, and I was probably one of the best. And I'm humble. I'm just seeing if you're listening. She said the other day, I had a guitar that she bought me hanging in the closet. And it's been a couple years ago. My pastor, Pastor Jones's son, Ken, had come to see us. And I'm showing him my office. And he goes, what's in here? And he opens the door. And it's my closet, but I don't worry about it. But he sees my guitar and he goes, hey, do you play? And I go, no. And he goes, can I play it? I go, sure. So he goes, can I tune it? I go, tune it. So he takes out his phone, gets his tuner on. You've seen those, maybe not. So he's tuning, he's twisting, bang! He goes, oh. I go, Ken, I don't play it anyways. So he tuned the rest of them, and I kept saying, yeah, don't tune anymore. So I put it back for 2 years. I walk in and out of that closet, and that string is still there. So the other day, I ordered strings on Amazon. Amy said, did I see you ordered guitar strings? I said, man, are you nosy? I said, yeah, I just tried to buy the one, but you can't. Had to buy a whole set. It's like $6. So I bought the whole set because I'm tired of walking into that one string. I know I'm not a woman. A woman would say, well, just take that one string off. It's not the way it works. I'm a guy. We fix things. So I changed all the strings, you know, I went through the whole process, and if you've done, I don't have a winder, I used to have a winder, and so I'm turning these strings, and I'm thinking, this is not urgent. I'm not going to play this. I am Lord, I'm sorry, because if I should be doing something else, I am wasting time. So I finished it up, and I got on my knees, and I said, Lord, please don't let me waste time in my Christian life. We waste time as Christians, don't we? It's never a waste to go to church, never a waste to read your Bible, never a waste to pray, never a waste to talk to somebody about the Lord. But boy, all that other time in between there, we're good at wasting it. I don't know exactly what the Lord wants you to do, but I'll tell you what, the Lord wants us to make a choice for Him now. We need to choose Him and follow Him and not let anything get in the way of following Him. You know what? I'm not a good Christian. I want to be. I'm trying. But you and I would be a better Christian if we were urgent about following Him. If we said, this needs to be done. Amy said, wasn't that guitar in the closet for 2 years? She knew she bought it for me, and I said, yeah, I don't play it. And she said, have you played it? I said, no, this string, there's a broken string. She said, well, why'd you change the strings? I said, I don't know. Are you going to play it? Probably not. But the strings are all there, and by the way, it's tuned. Say, well, isn't that a waste of time? Yeah, that's what I thought. But someday if the Lord says, hey, grab that guitar. That's what they're called, guitar. Grab that guitar. You know, I want to be the best Christian. I just want to do what I'm supposed to do because it's urgent, because it's necessary, and I never want to assume that I'll have a chance to do it later. Man, you have to choose. You have to say, I'm going to follow Him. When I wake up in the morning, I'm following Him. All through the day, I'm making choices to follow Him. Because if you don't make that choice to follow Him, it'll be easy not to follow Him. Amen. Nothing. I'm almost done, but that's my new thing, getting done early. So do whatever you can do, but I'm not done yet, but I'm saying I got to come up with 15 minutes worth. So nothing is more important. I'm telling you, as your pastor, but as a Christian, I'm not the oldest Christian in here. I'm not the best Christian in here. I've not been saved the longest, but I know what the Bible says. I've talked to God. I listen to sermons. I read a lot of books. I know a little. I know a little. And I'm telling you, nothing is more important in life than doing what God wants.
Amen.
Whatever God wants, when He wants you to do it. If there are things in your life, I don't know how else to say this. I'm saying it this way because it's clever. If there are things in your life that are dead, what is Jesus saying? Let the dead bury the dead. Don't worry about it. If there are things in your life that are dead, let them go. What matters? Hey, what matters? There will always be things that compete with the priorities in your life. There'll always be things that compete with the urgency to do them. I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for your word. I don't know that my priorities are exactly what they ought to be, but I work on it, and I'm asking tonight, God, you show me if there's some adjustments that need to take place. But God, I want to follow you. I want that to be my priority over anything else. I want the priority, my life, that I follow Jesus. And I want that to be the urgency of my life. God, I just think that that's important for every Christian, to make that. When you told Martha, one thing is needful. You told her that Mary chose the thing that was most needful, the one thing you said it's needful, it's urgent. She's made that a priority, and she's made it an urgent priority. And may that be true of us, Lord, that we don't just talk the talk, but that we actually literally walk the walk. That you are our priority. That we follow you. That's our priority. And that we are urgent about it. Not just, yeah, I do it when I can. I pray that our Christian lives will be ruled by following Christ, because it's our priority and it's our urgency. It needs to be done. This world needs Christians who follow Christ all the way, all the time, as hard as they can. I want to be one of those, Lord. And help all of us in this room and every person watching to say that, I'm just going to let the dead bury the dead. I'm going to follow Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray this in your name. Amen. Sorry, 10 minutes.